All right, here we go. And it's working. So this is a variation on this lesson that we'll do today. And this, what are we? This is December 10th. This sometimes can be a lesson that brings things up. And now all lessons are lessons that bring things up. It's kind of like, you know, in yoga practice, a lot of times at the beginning of a class, the teacher will say, you know, what's your intention? And you know and have been practicing your movement with me for a while now, so you might be able to think about what your intention for how you would like to approach the movement in the classes. And this is always an interesting question because, as we know, sometimes the very thing we ask for, then sometimes we get the opposite. So you could actually put it in a larger context, which is, how would you like to approach your learning? And if each of these lessons is like a little experience that you get to try on your learning in a little different way, how might you play with how you approach your learning in the lesson today? So instead of having a, I will do it this way, you could just play with different ways as you move through. And that might become a little more clear when you find yourself in some strange places as we do in class. Begin in your sensing with, of course, you've already been resting on the ground, so there are things that you're already aware of. And then focus your attention more closely to your heels and your sense of pressure. And oftentimes, the moment that you rest your attention there, you'll notice your sense of the length of your leg, or you notice the difference between your sides. And usually one heel will feel a little heavier or will rest at a different angle, or there's a different part of the foot that is touching. And generally, yeah, and you may find that you want to correct that, but you don't need to, so it's not about that. Generally, also, you'll notice there is a corresponding difference in your pelvis, like in the way that your sacrum, your hips rest on the ground. And it might not be that it's the same heel, but there's a corresponding, either a counterbalancing or that whole side rests a little heavy. And that may or may not be what you discover. And from your right heel, imagine the main bone of your lower leg and how at your heel you have your ankle, and then you have this line from your ankle up to your hip joint. And somewhere in the middle of that line, you have a deviation, a turn, and that's your knee. And so feel how your knee affects the line from your heel to your hip joint in your imagination. And then compare and feel on the other leg. One knee may be out. One of your legs may feel quite a bit a different shape. And then bring your attention more into the sense of your pelvis and your sacrum resting on the ground. And then your whole torso. So your whole torso is from your pelvis up to your shoulders. How your shoulder blades rest. And slowly stand your feet, one at a time. And with your feet there, slowly begin to press a little into your feet. So you just press down into your feet and feel what happens, and then unpress. So you're not doing a big motion, but feel what happens. What does that do? And what's the movement that begins to happen in your pelvis as you press your feet down and then unpress? And then see if there's a place and a way as you're doing this, just a little press and an unpress, that you can even out the pressure in your feet. You can see which foot takes the beginning of the movement or which part of which foot does what. How do you unpress? And maybe you would need to adjust your feet. So you could bring them a little closer to your sitting bones. So your knees are right over your feet. You can bring them closer together if they're really far. So find the place where it becomes a little more clear that you can press pretty evenly. And then if you were to continue the press, you would be able to lift your pelvis a little tiny bit into the air, letting your breath come and go, and then let your pelvis come back down. So just the smallest, the lightest lift.
And if I feel a little
bit of pain? That's a very interesting question. So depends. Don't go there. Don't go into pain. Oftentimes pain means like you're leaving something out. There's something else that could be participating. So for a bridge, and maybe you pause for a moment and lengthen your legs. For the idea of, in yoga we call it a bridge, right? To lift the pelvis up. For that to happen in a really harmonious way, there needs to be movement in the entire spine. And it's like you have a chain, those heavy, heavy chains that might be on the end of an anchor, and you're lifting from one end of the anchor and you're just like bit by bit lifting up. And of course, the other end of the chain will almost immediately go. And if it doesn't, then there'll be a pulling or an extra bit of force somewhere. Does that make sense? Yeah. And you can try on imagining. So when you get to that place and it's like your body goes like, listen to that and don't do it. Because maybe the stopping and then imagining once or twice will remind you what else is involved. And then when you're ready, just a couple more times, and you can make this as big as feels good, as small as feels good. Your knees might kind of extend a little over your toes. It's like the front of your pockets open, the belly is soft. And just reminding yourself what that feels like. You can lift like a chain, or you can lift as one piece, your whole torso, softening in the jaw, throat, and neck. Yeah, so don't do it.
What should I do?
Don't do it. Yeah, you just literally imagine. Does the imagining hurt? Yeah, there you go. And we know this, is, and we'll actually imagine part of the lesson today too. And then lengthen your legs down. If I don't come back to this at the end, Ingrid, you can remind me.
Okay.
And slowly, what we'll do today is roll onto your side and then slowly come up. And you can see there's lots of things around the room. And the reason is because we're going to work on our knees. And that means you may need to take lots of breaks. And that's okay. But we have knee pads. And when we use knee pads in Feldenkrais, you know, when we go out and garden, a lot of times we'll use them like this. But the problem with that is it programs you where you're going to put your knees. So if you put them here, you have to put your knees there, right? So you use them this way so that your knees can go wherever they need to go. Okay. So, and place your, if this is not quite enough, you can fold your blankets over the knee pads and make even more padding. And there's different ones, so you can double the knee pads. You just kind of come up and see what it's like. And yeah, and you find a way to stand on your knees as though you're standing on your feet, with your feet right below your sitting bones, and make friends a little bit. So that means you can bend and you can lengthen and you kind of feel how you do it. Your toes resting on the ground. And it's a very strange place to be. And feel if you're standing, like if you extended your legs in this shape, would your legs be really far apart? Would they be close together? Would you be guarding something, you know? And then feel that same idea in the front of the hips, right? If you were doing a bridge, your knees would extend away and your pelvis and belly would be open. Can you see that this is related to that position a little? Yeah. And then from here, begin, but you don't need to arrive there, begin to bring your sitting bones in any way you wish. So close your eyes, it's your movement. Bring your sitting bones in the direction of your heels and then come back here. Yeah, so where are your heels? And remember where your sitting bones are. So how do you do that? It's like a puzzle. You begin slowly coming down a little bit. How do you find your balance? And then coming back up. How do you begin the bending? Do you do it in your neck or your sternum? Some people hinge at the hips. Some people curl and round. How you do it in a way that it feels really good, even if you're moving a millimeter and then coming back up. Because everything that creates the larger movement comes in the beginning. What's happening in your shoulders, your hands. And yeah, just this little, yeah. Do you go more to one side or more to the other side? What's your strategy? Yeah. And how do you counterbalance? How do you maintain your balance so that you don't lose your balance? What happens with your hands and your head? Nice. And then leave it and rest on your back for a moment. Yeah. So there's about a series, and we may continue with, we're sort of doing a merging of a few lessons, but there's a series of lessons about this, just like there's a series of lessons that you've recognized with standing one foot and turning the hips. Remember that? You could remind yourself of that because that's also related. So stand your right foot here. And if you can press your right foot and you begin to roll yourself to the left a little, and that is the same thing in the front of the hip, right? So you press into your left foot, begin to lengthen the front of the right side body and roll to the side. So, and yeah, and then you can try it with the other side. So that has that same piece, which is often mysterious, of elongating through the front of the pelvis, the front of the hip flexor. Yeah, so that's like half of the movement, right, of a bridge.
Oh.
Yeah. So these things are all related. And then slowly roll to your side and see what it's like to stand on your knees again. And it is different than standing on your feet. And it's very different because you don't have that ability to bend your knees. So it's a strange thing to find out how to be at ease here. and how much you can be at ease here. And sometimes it changes too. Yeah. And notice how your hands and arms dangle. And then experiment with bringing both of your sitting bones toward your heels in your way that you do, however that is that you do, and let yourself do what you need to do to make that enjoyable and go as far as you wish. Even perhaps you come down, but maybe you don't. And this is why there's other props. So there's rollers around the room. There's other things. So if you come down and you're like, well, that was just farther than I wish I had gone down, you can bring a roller and come down to a roller instead. So at some point you might find yourself closer, but you don't have to. Yeah. And then you rise up. And each part of it, the idea is that you're able to change directions at any moment. You're able to switch halfway down and come back. Yeah, you can stop. You can stop at any moment and you can come back up without any momentum needed. And if you find a trajectory that doesn't feel so good for coming up, then learn for yourself and find a different way. So each time, right, you make yourself a way to come back down that's a little bit more fun until you find yourself sitting on your roller or sitting on your heels or sitting on your pads. Yeah. Yeah. You can do it with your jaw tensed
it's
too.
It's been really good.
Yeah. You could just
tense
do
just
it.
Coming here, but
Just let it. Just
let it,
yeah, try it on, let it go on and off, fight with it, don't fight with it, but don't worry about it too much. Yeah. Yeah. And right, and it's okay to start with it because it'll change. Yeah. And you may actually want to try actually putting just the two pads between your heels, because this next piece, once you find yourself onto your roller or onto your, yeah, you could try those two instead. The tops of the feet can be really interesting there, and you might want to just, yeah. So experiment and see. And then however far you go, if you have a roller there, you may want to kind of hold, I started when I was doing this on a roller, you may want to hold it or your pads, and then you begin to imagine that you could listen first, let your self slide a little along one heel and then come back to the middle and slide a little to the other side. Like, it's like you're wagging your tail. So you might need to lighten your weight a little bit, and your heels and your everything goes a little to the side, your heels and your calves and everything goes a little to the other side. So you find your way. So how could you slide a little to one side and slide to the other? Everything goes together. It's like a little bunny shaking his tail.
Can I try it?
Yeah, try it. Yeah. And you might hold it. Yeah. I know. It's a playing thing. The trick is, well, try those. Yeah. Try four, try two. And then see, you know, with those you might slide the whole pad over. The thing that makes it a little different when you have the roller or the pads is that they will move too. The trick, like skiing. And this next piece we do in the imagination, so you stay here. You can feel free at any point to bend your knees and stand your feet. Or, you know, do what you need to do to be comfortable.
and you've felt that position of standing on your knees, and you can bring that into your sense memory. It's like you feel the pressure on your knees, and you sense that feeling of some kind of elongation of your quads, the front of your thighs, how you line up over your legs, the length of your spine and the shape of your spine. And imagine that you begin your movement of bringing your sitting bones back to your heels, and add all of the detail of how you begin the movement. What do you do with your eyes? What do you do with your neck, your throat, and your sternum? Do your hands and arms hang, or do they move in one way or another? What happens in your spine? Do you hinge at the hips or curl to come back and bring your weight back? Do you counterbalance with your head moving forward as your sitting bones go back? How much? And there's no right or wrong. This is a challenge because we are often told or shown, or we have an idea that there is an ideal way, and that that ideal way is what we should be doing. And that if we don't do it in that way, then it's wrong. But this movement is like a fingerprint. No one has exactly the same shape spine. No one has spent their life doing what you have been doing. And nobody has the history that you have. No one walks exactly like you. And no one can do this movement in a way that it's just exactly like you. Moshe says, there is no ideal strategy. That is only a distraction to think so. To think that there is an ideal strategy is a distraction. Different strategies suit every person, every function, every environment, every attitude. The strategy is different. If there were 10,000 people doing this, I challenge you to find any two people who do it the same. So, in actuality, roll to your side and come up. Not in your imagination, but unless you want to. So, you always can come back and do it in your imagination, because we know that the brain doesn't actually know the difference between reality and your thoughts, especially if you feed your imagination with your sense experience. So you can try it a few times up, you can try it a few times down. So you find you're standing on your knees, you pad your knees as much and in any way that you want, and you may find that it'll be softer for your tops of your feet if you don't pad your knees. You can play. And this time, bring your hands to the earth. So you might be hands on the ground, you might be hands on the blanket. So you're on all fours. And begin to bring your sitting bones back to your heels this way a little bit. And feel how you begin this. And is it related to your imagining of how you did it the other way? So anything similar here? How do you do this? What changes? And then slowly rise up, stand on your knees, and then try it the other way. So from standing on your knees, find your way to bring both sitting bones as far as you wish. And then how do you come back up? What propels you up? What comes first? What do you lead with? Where is the movement where's the power and balance? Is it more in muscle? Is it more that you are counterbalanced? How are you finding your way up and down? And then once you rest on your heels, we'll add the next piece. Always remembering at any point, you rest and you return. So think in your mind first, which way felt the easiest for sliding your heels to one side? Like if you were going to, from here, sit on the ground, and you were just gonna do it by sliding, which way would you go in your mind? And then begin to slide your hips along your heels, slide your sitting bones along your heels to that side, and then back. So it's like you're going towards sitting on your side, and then you're gonna come back up. And you can use your arms to counterbalance. You can use your head to counterbalance. You can use your gaze, everything. So you can take your hands and bring them out, or you can keep them on your hips. But it's as though you can keep your balance and go towards sitting to one side, and just as easily at any point, you could just change your mind and come back up. And notice how you do what you do. How do your calves roll? How do your heels go with you? What do you do with your ribs and your upper body? What do you do with your head and your eyes? And how do you come back up? And sometimes it's like hula dancing. Give yourself, yeah, that's right, you can do it in your mind. And then maybe once before we rest, try the other side and see if you can find the differences between. How do you go to that side? Yeah, if you get that thing again, just pause and then go before that. So you do the part up into the place where that happens, because if you move small and slow enough, you'll be able to know right where, and you're like, oh, that doesn't work. And then you might go the other way. So one side you might turn. This side you might need to do something totally different. It might be more of a bend. Right? It may be that you don't go all the way down on one side. Ready for a rest?
Yeah.
Okay, rest. You can choose to rest before I stop.
Belly has smallest movements, most exhaustion.
Yes.
I can't slide the other one because one of my ankles won't let me.
Well, and that's really good information. And so, so it may mean that it may mean finding a totally different strategy, or sticking with the first side, imagining on one side. Is that the one you had surgery on, Michael?
That's the one I broke.
That's the one you broke, yeah.
It'll roll, but it can't find a comfortable way to do it.
When Angel, my teacher, was teaching this lesson, because I listened to her teaching it today, she said, this is the kind of lesson that stirs up the internal judge. I ought to be able to do this. But we're doing this in a different way. So even if this is something that you've done before, doesn't need to be anything that you expect. So roll to your side and come up and play in your way with this. So begin to notice your strategies for how you work one way or the other. And Michael, we might be able to pad you differently. So first find what it's like and how it's working to bring yourself back onto your heels, and what that's like, whether you've improved, learned something for yourself,
And enjoy how you do that, because it's really interesting. Is it this one?
Yeah, I can't get it past
okay,
that
so
point.
Rise up for just a moment, and then lift your feet. I'm going to place something underneath your ankles. And then, and then begin to notice how you go about doing it the easy way. So feel for yourself where in your spine, when you go the easy way, how do you do it? Is there a bend or a turn? How did you breathe? And cultivate with this, like, how can you make it feel really beautiful? Cultivating this sense, I know it's a funny thing, but one of the ideas is that, you know, when we're moving really well, we feel graceful, and we feel really, you know, like, it's pleasing. It's like, I'm satisfied. See if you can find a way to move that you're satisfied and it's enjoyable. And see what that is. You know, where do you look with your eyes? What do you do with your hands? How do you counterbalance to allow yourself to come up without using momentum? That's a trick. Even without your hands, you can do it without your hands. It's true. You'll find a way. So you can do it with your hand. It's very different. Yeah, I know. This is an interesting lesson.
It really is. And then when you go the other way, that's right. That was brilliant, Michael. Yeah, just lifting yourself from there makes a different way. See what you do on that side. How is it different? Because you have a different strategy. This is a side that maybe doesn't have as much easy side bending, or maybe it's even better at side bending, or maybe it needs a twist. And you could actually have your hands completely out to the side to help you come up if that makes it easy. How do you use your whole spine? It could be like hula dancing. When you go to one side, in order to counterbalance, your head has to counterbalance your pelvis, and your hands and your arms have to counterbalance. Yeah. Yeah. And then if you need to rest, take a rest. If you want to keep playing, really work on the coming back up at any moment. So, like, how do you come back up at any moment? With no momentum. Nice. Good. And then let's all rest. Notice what there is that's new in your sensing of yourself as you rest here. Warm enough. Okay. Okay. And roll to one side when you are ready and willing. And play with this one more time before we move on. And the focus as you go into this movement, and take as much time getting to the place where you begin as you want, is reversibility. So in order for your pelvis to go to one side, There has to be enough of you over the other way. Huh. It's like scales, right? So the Lady Justice has her scales. And if one side, if they were both over here, she would just fall over. So it's like on the one hand, the pelvis, and on the other side, everything else you have. You've got your hands, your arms, your head, your shoulders. So move them around in such a way that you're able to not use momentum. You can find an easy way to rise just as slowly as you went down. And when you do use momentum, know that you're doing it. And this time, maybe when your hips go to one side, really let your arms be up and use them. Use your head, use your arms. Doesn't have to be that you go any further, but that you can feel how it can help you. Right?
Mm.
Could help you. If you find yourself in a hole and you have to help yourself up, it's okay. Know that you did it. And then you go, you just don't go quite that far next time. You're like, okay, well, how far could I go? Yeah. And your heels drop with your hips. Your hips go down, your heels go down. They go together, all in one, right? Just like skiing. Do you ski, Terry?
No.
No, you do now. just classroom skiing.
This is putting a lot of acupuncture on the front of my feet.
It is. It is a lot.
Kind of feels good.
It's iffy. then when you're satisfied and you feel like it feels good, you found a way to do it and how far to go each side that feels really good to this moment, rest. Like you've done it as just to your satisfaction, to your level of effort, rest. You're done for right now. Well, imagine this next piece first so that you have an image in your mind. Actually, you know what we'll do is something a little different. So stand your left foot on the ground and bend your knee. So you're there and you remember this rolling feeling. Take your right hand and reach it in an upward direction. And use the pressing down, your whole arm, your hand, your elbow, your arm, all the way up. And upward as in like your head is up, your feet are down. So upward would be towards the wall behind you. And then use the pressing into your left foot to reach your arm. So to look up at your hand and reach up and look up. Like you're gonna get something and it's up there and you really want it. You're like, please, it's chocolate, I'm ready. And then come down.
That's true.
So you can feel that. Yeah. And then maybe just once on the other side. And if one shoulder is in a different position than the other, you don't have to worry about it, but you can feel the direction and you can imagine where your arm would go. So with your right leg, you would reach, press into your right foot, and it's like you're reaching up and you're looking up. Nice, good. And then come down. Okay, one of those is probably a little easier. Which way? In your mind, choose. So stand that leg, whichever leg you've chosen. Yeah. So if it's your left leg, it's your right arm that reaches. If it's your right leg, it's your left arm that reaches. And then take the same, so Michael, it's your right arm. Everyone else, it's your left arm. And reach your hand towards your heel. as you reach your one arm up, your other hand reaches towards your heel. I know it's really weird. So for Ingrid and Terry, you're going to reach, press into your left foot, and you're going to reach with your left hand for your left heel on the ground. It's like, you're like, can I reach that? So,
are you also moving the other arm?
You are also, because they're two sides of the same coin, right?
Yeah.
So in order for your long side of your body to get long, the short side of the body has to get short. So, yeah, I know, right? So for Michael, you would be your bent leg, same arm, would reach towards his heel, and that one, yeah. And so the idea is, like, as you're reaching up, there's a part of you that's reaching down. Yeah. Now, your heel is on the ground, so it's going to be a little easier to reach for your heel if your hand is on the ground. But, yeah. And you, yeah, just like, I got it! Yep, nice. Okay,
so. I still don't have my chocolate, though.
No, I didn't bring any over either. Okay, but I will look sick. I have some. Okay, good. So you have an idea. So rest for a moment. So that's related to what we're doing.
That's related to the on the knees.
It is. It's related to what we're doing. Yeah. So have a rest. And remember which side's the easy side. What you just did, it may be the easy way to begin our next piece. And you can imagine this before you come up. So as you're lying here, imagine that you come and you stand on your knees. And there you are. You feel how that is, the length of the front body. And then you tuck your toes under like runner's toes, and that may or may not be your favorite place. So you'll have to try it and see how it goes. So you know how like runners, when they're at, you know, they're going to take off, they're on the balls of their feet, they have their toes tucked underneath. Does that make sense? So your heels come up a little bit from the ground. So you're still standing on your knees, and then what you do is you bring the hand that was just reaching for your heel. Guess what? You'll reach for your heel, and you'll place the heel in the place between your thumb and your first finger. There's this lovely sling. You can see it in my hand. It's right here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of ways to do it. You could place it there, you could place it there, and you don't even have to get there. But that's where we're going. So slowly rise up, and we'll go through it again. So take your time and find your way. Choose how much padding you want, and then we'll see how it is. So you come and first just remind yourself, see how it's progressing to be on your knees, standing there as though you're standing on your feet, and then tuck your toes underneath, so they're here instead of having your feet pointed. You come here, and they don't have to be, you know, all the way. So you really have to play with how that works for you. And then imagine for yourself, remember which hand went towards your heel, and then what was happening with the other arm, right? In order for one side of the body to get short, the other needs to get long, and you have a counterbalance. So you bring either, for you, I think it was your left hand, for Michael it was your right. You can start with that and see how it would be. Begin to reach for your heel, don't get there right away, and see what it's like. How would you begin to reach for your heel with the hand, and your other arm would counterbalance by reaching a little bit up. So, yeah, how would you go there? And there's something in this about, like, lengthening through your pockets, the front pockets of your hips. There's a little something there. So, yeah, there's two ways. So, right, so you could do it by bending and reaching, right? But you don't need any counterbalancing, right? Because you're just using your hips and nothing else has to happen, right? So this one, we're actually using lengthening here. So it doesn't matter if you get there, but it's a elongation here. Yep. Yeah, okay, and then what does your other arm do? You have a counterbalance. Ah, okay. You don't have to get there or stay there, so yeah. How do you find your way? And maybe you can pause. Pausing is really good. So pausing is really good. So rodeo folks are really good at this. Yeah, oh. Right?
Rodeo.
Yeah, that was nice. How's that for your feet? Is your feet okay from doing this?
Your feet are okay.
Feet are okay? Mm-hmm. All right, when you're ready, come back up and play.
It's kind of a quad work.
It's quite a bit of quad work, yeah. Yeah, and some in the buttocks too, right? Because in order to lengthen here, you have to do something to lengthen through the front body, right? Yeah, and there's a little bit of a lifting of the heart, and you could look up for your chocolate.
So, oh, that helps.
It could really help to look up for the chocolate.
Yeah. My heart always goes towards chocolate.
That's good. Yeah, so if it's really up there, because you have to, yeah, so one side short and one side
so
long.
Can we try with the yeah. other side?
Go ahead. Yeah.
I'm curious.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. And it may surprise you that maybe the side that was easier on the ground isn't. Yeah. And maybe you need to reach more with the tall arm. Maybe there's something that you can do to breathe or to make it a little more enjoyable. Lots of rests in this are good. Lots of rests are really good. Yeah. Remind you of anything?
It reminds me of my low back.
Reminds you of your low back, yeah.
Firing up my low back.
So yeah, stopping is good. And sometimes that's really good information because it may be that there's something here that needs to help you, and it may be that you don't need to go so far back. Like maybe you just imply the direction so that you do it in the part where it's comfortable. Because the goal isn't really to get anywhere. Okay, so rest on your back. Rest on your back. Then you can lie here and feel what there is to feel. Been doing this very strong work with the whole back body. Bring your knees up toward the ceiling and your elbows up toward the ceiling. Your feet can be off the ground so that your knees and elbows are up and they're towards each other a little. Yep, that's right. And your feet kind of hang where they hang. And then we'll just remember this little lesson of letting everything be there, but starting to roll a little to one side. Everything rolls, your head rolls, everything rolls a little bit. And let your legs be a little apart when you roll so that you don't lose your balance. And then go the other way. So just have a little moment of playing. So you'll roll really fast when your hands and your legs are together. And you'll roll really slow when they're wide apart. So you can control your speed by bringing your hands and knees together, or by widening them. Yeah. Yeah, nice. So if you ever find that something that you're doing is a little overwhelming, overstimulating, and that you come home at the end of the day and you're really tired and you just you have back pain, this is a wonderful thing to do. This is a fantastic thing to do. And you can even play with lengthening your right arm and right leg a little as you go one way. Which way is up to you. Usually it's toward the ceiling. And then you lengthen your other ones. Yeah. So you can lengthen them out.
It's like a new version of Happy Baby.
Yeah, it's like a new version of Happy Baby. And then rest and lengthen your legs long. There is strong work in this, and in this lesson, you will often find that you have used muscles that you do not use on a regular basis. You did a lot of shortening the back, lengthening the front. Slowly bend your knees and stand your feet.